Thank you very much for coming and being a part of our worship here this evening. I am very thankful that we have this opportunity. I am very thankful that the storm has not caused as much havoc as certainly Nate could have. I'm thankful that we're able to be here tonight. I do want you to know that I am thankful for you. I'm glad that we're able to gather. I'm thankful for our elders who took very serious the thought process behind, the planning process behind what to do with today's order of service. But I will say it was very bizarre not getting up and coming to worship this morning. I am glad we're able to do it now, but you know, it's for those who miss Sunday mornings and do not come, I have no idea what they do, you know, except clean up for a storm. And you can only do that when there's a storm, I guess. But it's just, it was bizarre. I was missed being with you. And so I'm glad we're here tonight. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to John 8, please. John chapter 8. It's a very familiar passage we're going to talk and learn from tonight. I'm going to read this passage, we're going to read it, and then we're going to draw about three lessons from it. There are probably a lot of lessons we can draw from John chapter 8, but I certainly believe that the three that we're going to be able to get out of tonight's lesson will benefit everybody who's here today. Whether you have not yet become a Christian, you've been a Christian for a little while, or you have been a Christian for a long while, tonight's lesson, I pray, will be very beneficial to each and every one of us. And those who aren't Christians, it will strike something in their hearts to help them to come obey tonight. Beginning in verse 1, John 8 reads, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they sat her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act.' Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" They said this, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and he wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He was without sin. Among you, let them throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Such a powerful story to me, you know? I think about it because how many times have we committed sin, and when we have been convicted in our hearts, whether it be because someone pointed it out, like the Nathan in our life, or because we realize, hey, yes, I'm a sinner, I've messed up, I put Christ on the cross, and it's bothered our conscience. How many times have we felt like we are the lowest person on the planet? We felt like the Apostle Paul who said, "Of whom I am chief of sinners." You know, but when I think about this woman, and I think about Jesus, and I think about the relationship that they quickly built together, It's a very powerful lesson of forgiveness. It's a very powerful lesson of grace. There's mercy. There's a lot of great things in it, but there are three points tonight I want us to dig into for just a few moments. And all of these, again, I believe, can benefit us. But the first thing I want to draw from this lesson is what Jesus does with these men who are trying to trick Him, if you will. Now you see the scene. This woman's caught in the very act of adultery. She is dragged to Jesus, and they have rocks in their hands. And they're saying, hey, Moses said that she can be stoned. We want you to say, hey, let's go. What's going to stop us from doing that? And what does Jesus do? Our brother Bill has reminded us before that Jesus stooped. We serve a Lord that stoops, and I think that's a beautiful scene. But as He stoops in the ground, He does something. He draws in the sand. Now, for, I guess, years, it's been debated on what Jesus drew. What did He write? What did He draw? Perhaps, maybe it was an Old Testament scripture. I don't know what it was. I'm just going to tell you from the outset. But perhaps that's what it was. Perhaps it was a picture of something that got to their hearts. Perhaps He was writing their own commandments that they had broken. I don't know what it was. But no matter what it may have been, Jesus drew before He spoke. He drew something in the sand before He ever spoke a word to them. Now, Jesus would have thought no sin. Jesus would have spoken no sin. Okay? He is God in the flesh. He is the perfect sacrifice. He never sinned. And I'm not saying that, but we do. And here's the lesson I think we can get out of the first thing Jesus did. Sometimes in life, we need to stop and draw in the sand. How many times has our mouth got us in trouble? I have had foot and mouth. Oh, man, that's a daycare thing, isn't it? I've had foot and mouth disease plenty of times in my life, unfortunately. And sometimes I talk because I'm nervous. I'm just telling you, you know, I know that it seems like Terry may be comfortable or whatever, but I don't like awkward silence. And so that's why if I'm sitting in a class and nobody wants to speak up, no matter what it is, I feel like I'm going to speak up. Because sometimes I know what it's like to be up there teaching when nobody says anything. That awkward silence. And so sometimes I've done that, and by me not thinking before I've done it, I've stuck my foot in my mouth. Next thing I know. Maybe we've heard some juicy gossip. Maybe somebody comes up to us and says, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? You know, the first thing we need to do is not say, no, tell me about it. We need to stop and draw in the sand. We need to take a moment and remember whose we are. When we're jealous over something, that happens from time to time, right? We get jealous because someone may receive something that we didn't. Our neighbors may have a nicer vehicle. They may have whatever. Somebody out there may have something better than us. We become jealous over it, envious over it. Before we go and talk to others about it, we need to draw in the sand and think about it first. When we get mad at someone for behaving rudely to us, does that ever happen? You put yourself in public, it's going to happen. There are going to be people who are rude. There are going to be people on the way here. Thankfully, I drew in the sand, okay? But I was trying to get on to worship, and by not breaking the law of the land, at least excessively. But I was trying to get here, and you know, you're coming down Schillinger, and when are they going to change that speed limit from 35? You know, come on. Anyhow, the point is, you're trying to get here, and there's a lady in front of me, and I usually just stay in the right lane all the way up because now you can take it all the way and it turns in here, and that's a beautiful thing. But somebody was going slow, so I get over. Well, somebody just, whoom, right up behind me. They didn't turn in here, so it wasn't you. But anyhow, my first thought was, I just want to give them a piece of my mind, you know? Or I just wanted to hit the brakes a little bit. But thankfully, I didn't. My family probably didn't even notice that. Because I passed the test. I remember, you know, hey, we got to draw in the sand. Sometimes when people behave rudely to us, we need to stop, and before we react, before we embarrass ourselves, embarrass our families, embarrass those around us, and most importantly, shame the Lord's church, maybe we need to stop and draw in the sand. You know what James taught us? You remind ourselves of this. He said that the tongue is the hardest member to tame. You know, he actually said, no man can tame the tongue. It is the hardest member of the body to tame. In fact, we can't do it without God's help is what I imply that James taught us there. So we need to gather our thoughts. We need to gather our words before we allow this little member to spew such great poison. Oh, by the way, that also goes for our hands on the keyboards or on the phones or devices. We need to draw in the sand. I'm confident, and I'm just a little bit off my notes here, but I'm confident that if more people would go on social media, would stop and ask themselves, should I post this? We'd have a lot better social media, you know? Social media is great. Thumbs up for those who come up with the idea, hey, check, you just want to know if you're okay during the storm. That was a great idea. Checking on people, getting the word out. But sometimes we don't think and we react. James also taught us to be slow to speak and swift to hear. Number one, let's draw in the sand. Number two, this is one I think that's an obvious point in it. We have to come to a point in our lives when, you know, we get mad and maybe drawing in the sand is not enough. Again, I'm not saying Jesus was mad at all. I'm just saying that's a lesson we can derive from this lesson in itself. But sometimes that's not enough, okay? We might draw in the sand and we might not say anything and we may not react, but we go and we pick up some rocks. Oh, by the way, a stoning. Parental guidance is suggested here. It was not just they threw little rocks at them. They bashed them. Okay? They would take rocks and bash and throw down and hit. It was a very gruesome and bloody massacre, really. Okay? So this scene was not pretty. And sometimes we load up both barrels with these rocks and we're ready to go after somebody. So my point, I believe, more importantly than that, Christ's point to us tonight is this. It comes a point in our time, and it may be tonight, that we need to drop the stones. Yeah, we need to draw in the sand, but we also need to drop the stones. He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. Jesus, by saying this, taught us a lot of great lessons. Oh, FYI, for your information, he was the only one that could have thrown a stone that day. Sin is sin. Adultery is sin. Gossip is sin. Lying is sin. Murder is sin. Sin is sin. Throwing rocks, throwing darts, throwing attacks hurts and destroys. Instead of throwing, we need to be helping. Instead of throwing a rock, we need to extend a hand. Jesus taught this more times than we could even imagine. Every time he encountered some doubter, he helped them instead of throwing rocks at them. Peter walking on the water. You remember this story? I've taught on it many times. I love that story. There's a lot of valuable lessons in it. But I want to fast forward to when he takes his eyes off Jesus. The moment that we thought, Peter, how dare you? You know, you doubter. And Jesus also reprimanded him. Why did you doubt? But here's what I want you to see. When Peter took his eyes off and he started sinking and he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus didn't put his foot on Peter and say, nah, you should have kept your eyes on me. You just stay down there and drown. That would have ruined the story, wouldn't it? He extended a hand. While Peter was sinking, while Peter was struggling, he reached out and he helped him. The disciples who were on the boat, Mark chapter 4, one of the accounts, the winds come up. We talked about it. That storm come up. And they wake him up. Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Jesus didn't get up and say, why'd you ruin my sleep? Why, how dare you? Now, he did reprimand them. Why is it that you have no faith? Where is your faith? But before all that, what did he do? He calmed their fears. He calmed the sea. The woman at the well. He knew her story. He knew the men in her life. He knew what she was going through. But before that, he became her friend. What about Judas? If there's anybody Jesus could have really thrown some serious rocks at, it would have been Judas. But he gave Judas instead so many opportunities to get it right. Time and time again, Christ helped instead of through. We need to learn that lesson as well. Christ taught us in this lesson that it's better to be on the helping side than on the attacking side. I wouldn't say that Jesus was a weak person by any stretch of the word. Jesus was very tough. Jesus was very strong. He was very brave. But at the same time, He was the most gentle of men who's ever walked this earth. The scribes and Pharisees, they may have been reluctant to put those stones down, but they did it because they knew Christ was right. So along the way, we've got to put some stones down. We've got to put the stones of jealousy down. Talked about it a little bit earlier. Envy, jealousy, those type things, trying to keep up with the Joneses, trying to, you know, because we want and our children want and others want, and we become jealous and we get mad at people for no good reason, we've got to put those rocks down. There's a lot of hatred that you hear about in our country. But here's one thing that we need to say from this pulpit and many others. Red, yellow, black, and white, He loves them all. They are precious in His sight. They're precious to Jesus. They're precious to us. It doesn't matter what color. It doesn't matter what you and I agree on. If we agree on everything, it doesn't matter. We need to put the stones of hate down. There needs to be no hate. And we've got to lead the charge in that. Stones of judgment. Now let me say this, especially to those who may be of the teenage age bracket around here, because I hear this from teenagers, hey, you can't judge me, don't judge me. Well, let me say, if facts reveal something to be true, it's not a judgment. You've heard me say that many times now. I didn't say it, I said it, but that's found in Scripture. It's found in society, okay? Here's the point though. The judgments that are going on in the world and people judging, we can't be that type of person. We need to put those stones down. We need to put the stones of grudges down. We need to put the stones of envy down. The stones of, and we could go on and on. There are a lot of stones that sometimes we pick up to throw. We've got to put them down. Thirdly tonight, yes, we need to draw in the sand. Yes, we need to drop the stones. But the final point I want to share with us through this lesson is we need to defeat the doubt. Defeat the doubt. Jesus asked her after they put those rocks down and they left, and it was Jesus and the woman. It's a great question, wasn't it? He said, where are your accusers? Now, I want to remind you, she had messed up. Okay? And she had messed up what we'd call big time. All right? She was in a lot of sin. But to me, this is one of the most compassionate moments in all the Scripture. Because even though that woman had sinned, maybe she ruined a family. She ruined a reputation. Maybe she ruined her own family. Yes, she had messed up. Yes, she was a sinner. But she didn't need to be stoned that day. She didn't need to be beaten up that day. She didn't need to be condemned that day. She didn't even need to be preached to that day. What that lady needed that day was to be loved, to be forgiven, and to be given a second chance. By Christ saying what He said to her, He did all three. He loved her. He forgave her. Remember, He had the power on earth to do that, to look at someone's heart and to forgive them of their sins. And He gave her a second chance. I'm concerned that sometimes people stay away from the Lord because they're afraid of their past. They're scared away by mistakes that they have made, by sins that they've committed, by harm that they've done to their reputation, by harm that they've done to their family, by harm that they've done to others. Maybe perhaps they think they're not good enough. They believe their sins are too big and their burden is too great. Maybe they think that if they go and they get things right or confess, that the stones that will be thrown at them will be too hard to endure. We've got to get the message out. Forgiveness is not just for a couple sins. Jesus' blood wasn't just shed for a few sins. Jesus died for all sins. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. And He died for all the sins out there. There is no sin that cannot be forgiven. I understand the unpardonable one, but I'm not talking about that. That doesn't apply per se to us. Okay? The sins that we will commit on a daily basis, Jesus died for all. And we need to let people know that. Instead of looking down in a pharisaical way, we need to be looking out in a brotherly way. Are there people in our lives that maybe we know that need to hear this message? Maybe so. I believe this passage of Scripture reminds us of the amazing mercy of our Lord. He was the only one that day who could have thrown a rock, but He extended a hand. Maybe there's even those here tonight that need that hand extended. Jesus didn't approve of the lady's sin. In fact, He told her to go and don't do it anymore. But He didn't condemn her. He comforted her. He didn't leave her. He loved her. He didn't forsake her. He forgave her. Tonight, no one has to be ashamed any longer. Because we're all sinners striving to get better. You don't have to be afraid to come forward. You don't have to be afraid to seek God, because God's not accusing you, and neither do we. you don't have to live with regret any longer. Because Christ died for every sin in the world today. Perhaps tonight, you need to put the past behind you and press forward by becoming a baptized, born-again child of the King. Perhaps there are those tonight who need to bring their stones up here and lay them down at the Master's feet. Or maybe there's some here tonight who need to be forgiven. You have the opportunity to do any of that right now as together we stand and sing.